occurred. In front of the entire nation, why is it that the nation where it occurred, those people do not accept it? You see? You can tell others that a great miracle has occurred over there, but you can't tell the people who are there that they occurred over here. With Jewish revelation, it's not so. Because in Jewish revelation, the revelation is maintained that your forefather, your nation, this occurred to you. Now, I can't come to you and say, you know, in your family, this occurred 50 years ago. You say, my family? One second. But I can tell you about somebody else. So that the place where Christianity was preached to the people who received the preaching of Christianity were in no position to contradict the miracles because they had no historical records where they lived because this wasn't part of their tradition, wasn't part of their heritage, it wasn't part of their historical recordings. But interestingly enough,
they didn't deny the bread and fish and water.
The Jews? Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. The Jews did not maintain that Jesus performed any.
Yeah, but the people who were there, the Jews who were
there. The Jews were there? Absolutely. No record at all. There is no historical record by the Jews who were there of admitting that any of these miracles occurred. Now, that one historical record.
The Dead Sea Scrolls are oldest. We don't know when this was written, even. When you say we accept this.
I was trying to use a method of logic of it. Your question was in regard to the miracles of Jesus, correct? Now I'm telling you that in regard to the miracles of Jesus, the people who did live in the country of Jesus, his brethren, his own countrymen, did not accept him as a Messiah or as a Son of God. It only began much, much later. So that when you tell other people in another place that these are miracles, sure, they can't deny it. But the people where it occurred, you can't fool, because they say, how come we didn't see them? And there is no evidence at all that Judaism accepted any of the miracles. Maimonides, any of our scholars, the Talmud, the Tanoim, who existed in his times, nowhere at all did they accept any of these miracles.
Those claim they drank the bread and the wine and the...
That claim was made by the apostles. How should I understand?
They claimed the multitudes were there and saw it.
They claimed that. Correct.
So this is also the way the multitudes were here.
They claimed that the multitudes were there, but they claimed the multitudes were there, but there is no one to contradict them because they're not the same multitudes. But you can't claim two of those multitudes that were there that it happened. As a matter of fact, the multitudes that were there did not accept them. And I'll show you something from Matthew. I'll show you where in Matthew itself, Matthew sensed the difficulty in this problem. Interesting thing. At the point where Jesus rose from the dead, let's take that, right? Okay. So here it is.
You saw that,
but the eating... I wasn't seeing. Jesus rose from the dead.
I'm talking
right,
about
okay.
The
but I'll show you interesting thing. Yeah, but I'm telling you, there is no... We do not accept. No one, no Jewish sources accept that the bread and the fish. They don't accept it. They don't accept it. Now, here it is.
400 years later,
maybe. Hundreds of years later that was documented. Their documentation, I don't know. That's what it is. As a matter of fact, that's why Judaism always remained the biggest question to Christianity. Because whenever you tell them these miracles occur, they say, well, where? Over there, nobody accepts it. How come? That was one of the biggest problems. Here, so look at this. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came to the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled, with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. You see? So Matthew says that when Jesus arose, so the Jews said to the soldiers that you should say that his disciples stole him away, but he didn't rise, okay? And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. That's what Matthew says. What does Matthew tell you? He tells you an interesting thing. He says that until this day, the Jews will not say that Jesus rose from the dead, but the Jews will say that they stole his body, right? Which means quite clearly, if the Jews could say that, it means that there was no evidence produced in front of the eyes of the people there to contradict this, because they could say this and get away with it. Doesn't mean if we're going to say that everybody thinks we're Jay Rose, I think we'd have quite a few Jesus. But, yes. Okay.
Same thing.
So that's the same thing.
Same answer. There's no Pinsonian.
Exactly right. That's good. I mean, basically, that's the essence of what I wanted to say. I just conclude with one word. That I want you to know that the event of Sinai as fantastic as they were, are only the beginning of Judaism. Because we see Abraham did not have Sinai. He was before Sinai, yet he was a very righteous Jew. Well, I use the word Jew. The point is as follows, that Sinai at best is secondary knowledge, and that's the area of knowledge that we mentioned today. But Sinai was intended for one reason. It was to be enough to spur us on to investigate further and to study Judaism. That's the important thing. That Sinai wasn't an end to prove that God exists and goodbye. Now I believe in God and that's it. The purpose of Sinai was to begin us on the road, that we should continue to investigate and to study so that our secondary knowledge becomes primary knowledge. When a person wants to go to school, he wants to go to medical school, one of our students is in NYU, he was happy to go to NYU because he heard so much about it. It's a great school, a wonderful school. There's such knowledgeable professors there, doctors, so that he wanted to go there, but that was only secondary knowledge. He didn't know himself how much they know or what medicine is or if it is medicine or not. But as he goes, he gains more knowledge. And the secondary knowledge, what he believed at first, he is seeing is true. It becomes primary knowledge. That's the goal. That's the effort. This is the essence. The essence of Sinai is not to close the Chumash and say, Sinai happened, okay. What we should do is to go on. And I just want to thank you again today. As I said before, I think that what we do here really is on a fantastically high level. And I think that it's something we should be proud of, because this is the divine spirit. To get together and to discuss freely about the Torah as we did today, this is representative and reflective of God's spirit in man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.